You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, and the Skakulia, Tilitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Talking. Now do what I do, you can know, none of that I should. You can stop me loving my 어두운 그대로 내비둬 억지로 밝아질 건 뭐 있어 딱 촛불 하나 정도 저 조명 따윈 내게 빛이 될 순 없어 눈 뜨고 다시 찾아온 아침 혼자만 또 흐린 멍텅한 날씨 습기 가득 찬 왼쪽에 눈으로 바라본 내 꿈만은 선명하길 입김을 불어 계속 그 바람 앞에 흔들릴 뻔했어 호흡 가다듬고 네 시선에 맞춰 내 두는 계속 부릅떠 단정 짓지만의 감성은 절대 사고 팔 수 있는 것이 아니지 내 초대 심지어 불이 붙은 순간 난 최면을 걸게 내 눈앞에서 꺼져줬으면 좋겠어 레슨 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 미쳐가는 거야 다 널 무리 지킬게 내 최면놀이 빨간머리 촛불들이 꺼지고니 정신머리 잠들고니 마이크폰에 약물들들이 붙고 들이박힌 편견에 바꿀 드라마틱한 곡을 써내 존재는 반칙이야 목표는 바뀌잖아 부복은 2배 뛰어내 다음 스텝에 가있어 난 지금 이 3분의 무대가 전부인 듯이 나 최면 걸어 이제 막 단한 걸음 뛰어낸 거란 말해 우! 2년 전에 페인 레슨 금색의 체인 레슨 목에 걸지 못했던 순간에 게임은 시작돼 난 지금 무대 위에 단정 짓지만의 감성은 절대 사고팔 수 있는 것이 아니지 내 초대 심지어 불이 붙은 순간 난 최면을 걸게 내 눈앞에서 꺼져줬으면 좋겠어 레슨 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 미쳐가는 거야 다 내 인생은 끝없는 명암에 뒤바뀌는 싸움 낙하반보단 뻥난 사이키 예전에 소리 질러야만 사람들이 내 말 들었었지만 이젠 기대고 입 앞에 와있지 내 존재 부정하는 놈들은 너 어디 에어컨 안 키고 땀 흘리면서 괜찮다며 뻥무쳐 내가 누군지 알잖아 근데 모를 수도 있는 건 오늘 또 나 받고 또 넌 홀렸다는 걸 미쳐가는 거야 다 뭔가 신 것처럼 넋을 놔 깨어나는 순간 you gonna die yeah. 세상은 잠듭니다 왜선 어두운 그대로 내비둬 억지로 밝아질 건 뭐 있어 딱 촛불 하나 정도 저 조명 따윈 내게 빛이 될 순 없어 눈 뜨고 다시 찾아온 아침 혼자라도 꽤 화창한 날씨 습기 가득 찬 왼쪽에 눈으로 바라본 내 꿈 선명하지
And that was Idol by BTS, 방탄소년단, the track number 15 from their album Love Yourself Answer, which was followed by Red Sun by Hengju, which was featured by Zico from Block B from their show Show Me the Money Season 6, Episode 4. And we do have a special guest here today, and his name is Elliot. You guys all know him at this point, and yeah, he just got here 10 minutes ago. And yeah, everyone please welcome Elliot Chang right here.
Hello, hi everyone. Elliot. This is Elliot Chang.
How have you been?
Pretty good. Pretty busy, but...
Yeah. Well, I assume so, yeah. yeah. And you've been here how many times?
I think this is my second on this particular show.
Show, right. Yes. And the other one you've been...
Like for three, once. All of 3 minutes.
You know? 3 minutes total? yes. I think you still have the record. yeah. And for anyone who does not know you on our show, like, could you explain about yourself? Like, you know,
okay.
Just briefly?
Yeah. So my name is Elliot Chang. I'm not Korean, but I work on kind of K-pop, K-drama, Korean culture. Mm. And I was in a lecture on K-pop with Jaden, and so that's how I know him, and I'm really glad to be on the show today.
Awesome. And that's how you met. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so in total, you've been here three times.
Three times.
Cool.
Three times.
Awesome. So proud. Okay. And you're going to be here for the entire like 1 hour today?
Yes, yes.
For the first time ever, actually.
First time ever. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that? Like being here for the entire 1 hour from the beginning to the end?
I think it's cool. I don't usually get to listen to myself talk for such a long time, but I think it's pretty cool. So,
yeah. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, and by the way, did you like the second song I played at the top? The Red Sun by
Hanzo? It was fiery.
Yeah. Because I know you do dance, right?
Yes.
And do you dance to this kind of songs as well?
I do here and there. It's not my forte, so I don't usually choreograph to it, but I would love to kind of work on that in the future. Like I do really think Korean is very suited for rap. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of genre of music like do you normally dance to, like dancing to?
I usually do more like contemporary or modern, so probably some of the slower songs or more emotional songs I would do choreography to those.
I see. Like not like a hip-hop and like rap.
Like I do, but it's not like I'd like to get better at it, but it's not my best thing. So,
cool. Awesome. And, oh, you know what? Like, even though it's like the third time you're here, like, you actually never told us who's your favorite band, like, who your favorite band is, who your favorite artist is.
Oh, that's true. I actually have so many, but I think, like, if I'm still going down that line, then probably, like, if you guys know Park Hyo-shin.
Park Hyo-shin?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, very famous balladeer. He has this wonderful, just quality in terms of, you know, artistic, just a very soulful voice kind of thing. So,
right. Mm-hmm. And like, there's so many like singers who do like ballads songs, and like, such as I like, for example, I like Sung Si-kyung or even like Shin Seung-won. Like, like people say he's like ballad, like ballad hwangjae.
Yes, stuff. That's true. That's true.
Right. And what do you think like makes like Park Hyo-shin kind of like different from them? Like, what makes him your favorite?
I think his vocal tone, for example, is very breathy kind of thing. And I think that's quite different from, I think both Song Si-kyung and Shin Seung-won are very like, they kind of have very full, very like treble kind of voices.
Yeah.
Whereas like Park Hyo-shin has this like quality to it where you sense this like rawness. There's this like sing from the heart kind of feeling. And also I read somewhere that he's constantly kind of changing his style. He's kind of experimenting with his like vocal style, which I think is really cool. It gives him different ways to express what he's trying to sing in his ballads. So
right. And in fact, for Park Hyo-shin, I think I played one of his songs like once before, but not after that. I think that was like even like a 1 year ago.
Do you remember which one you played?
I actually do not. But I do. Oh. So there was one episode where I played like OST, like original soundtracks OST of like dramas, and I chose dramas like Jeonggu Yedan, like Stairway to Heaven, and also I think I also chose like Iris too.
Iris is like Shin Seung-won did one.
Shin Seung-won, which song did he sing?
사랑하는 동안, it's like Love of Iris, I think.
Yeah. Something like that.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, you know the OST that by Shin Seung-won that I like the most.
I believe.
From 엽기적인 그녀, My Girl.
I love that one.
Yeah, so like, I think everyone like so like in love with that one too.
It was like what, 17 years ago? But it's still.
Yeah, like 2001.
Yeah,
when I was in my grade one in elementary school.
Yeah. Like we watched that too, and it was a big hit, even like dubbed or translated into Cantonese or whatever in Hong Kong. So,
Do you remember when you saw the show?
I think about the time it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was too young to get it. But
yeah,
like,
me too. Yeah.
I remember the song.
So. Yeah. You know, like when it first came out, like everyone was like so in love with like Jeon Ji-yeon.
Yeah.
And even I was a little kid, but yeah. My first love.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So do you have any songs that you would like to recommend for our listeners?
So of course there's his classic cover of Nakashima Miika's Snowflower, so Nune Kot. And then also Soom from his last full length album so far. It's been a while since it came out, maybe 2 years. But
2 years, okay.
Yeah, it's called Soom.
Okay, so Nune Kot and
Soom
by Park Hyo-shin. Okay, let's give them a listen, and we'll be back right after we listen to the ad.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
밤새 길어진 그림자를 따라서 따끔히 진 어둠 속을 그대와 걷고 있네요. 손을 마주 잡고 그 언제까지라도 함께 있는 것만으로 눈물이 나는 걸요. 바람이 차가워지는 만큼 겨울은 가까워오네요. 조금씩
Of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite
indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the pop underground, Thursdays noon to one.
And that was 눈의 꽃 and soon by Park Hyo-shin, requested by Elliot Chang, our special guest today. And at the end, I was actually supposed to play the two of them only, but at the end, I played 소격동 by Strategic because I get to play my favorite song too.
Yeah. I like the song too. I mean,
소격동?
Yeah,
it's good.
소격동에
yeah.
기억하나요?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to 존박 radio like mm-hmm. 2 days ago mm-hmm. on my way to, you know, to come to school.
Right.
And with my app, I think the app's called like Gorilla. Gorilla.
Okay.
Yeah, Gorilla. Like, it lets me, like, listen to, like, SBS radio. And then Like he played like Jeonbak, he played Sogyeokdong Baseo Taeji. So I left a comment in the live chat section saying, "Oh, Sogyeokdong," and then he basically read my comment in the show. It was really cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
he like mentioned you on live radio.
Yeah, honor.
Well, I'm on live radio now, so
cool. All right, so Elliot, so basically, like last week, you told me you listened to the show.
I did.
So, yeah, we had Susan as our special guest, who is like a BTS expert.
A BTS expert.
Yeah, and she talked about what the success of BTS means for the future of K-pop. And from your perspective, as somebody who's majoring in this field and also somebody who loves K-pop and Korean culture, what do you think the future of K-pop will be like 3 years from now and also 10 years from now?
That's a pretty like big question. And I think it's really hard not to see, well, given our understanding, not to see K-pop outside of the kind of political considerations that surround it. So I think especially now, like with the marketing, the market opening up kind of in China, and like the amount of economic flow that's happening in the region with that, I feel like in the next 3 years, like, and it's already heating up a lot already. Like I hear stories about people who live there, and it's like a lot of the stuff that they listen to, young people are listening to, is K-pop. So I think there's going to be more economic integration in that sense. Maybe we'll see more like Chinese releases or people who are trained to be kind of culturally literate in those fields. And I think there's also like, if you move from 3 years into like maybe 10 years, then there's also like there are political tensions with,
of course,
we're not going to name names, but like I feel like people will kind of fall into like siding with one or the other kind of thing, and it's like, how is that going to affect the way that like Korea relates to its neighbors and the way that K-pop can kind of serve as a force to, I guess, unite people in the region, whether East Asia, Southeast Asia, or North America nowadays, culturally. I think it's exciting to see the ways that it's going. And it's hard for me to say concretely what they will be. But
And now that you mentioned about things about politics, back in 2011, I think, or 2012, that was the time when Korea and Japan, like their relationship was really bad. It was like, it got worse than ever. And then there was actually a protest, like anti-Korean protest, an anti-Korean wave protest in the middle of streets in Tokyo. Like Japanese people protesting, you know, people saying, we should not listen to K-pop, let's not consume any K-pop goods.
King Kanyu, they call it.
So that was sort of like a turning point, I think. So I agree with what you said.
And there was that whole deal in 2016 with the whole, like, the THAAD deployment, and then and then there was a freeze out of the Chinese market because of political considerations. But I think those things, I think it's opening up again now. The freeze is over, so
It's been a while, so
and
also we know very well about what happened with like Zui from TWICE and the flag issue and everything.
Is it okay to talk about this? Like, whoa.
It's okay. Well, we're not it's okay.
All right,
cool. Cool. No, then we'll move on to the, anyways, the next question then. So the popularity of K-pop or just like Korean wave in general. I believe it's impacted on the Asian region, like the music style, and also influencing the West right now, at this point. So do you think it has impacted the Asian communities here in North America as well? Because now you see, what was the movie called? Crazy Rich Asians. That came out too. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with the popular K-pop or influence of it.
K-pop received like a brief mention in that movie, like a single one-liner. it was a pretty offensive one-liner. So.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't watch it. Okay. I mean,
I did see that movie. I think I saw it 7 times in cinema.
Seven times. In theater. Oh.
Yes, because I really wanted it to succeed at the box office. And I think, have you seen, like, Wong Fu did a new video recently about Asian Halloween. Have you seen it?
Not that one, but I know the production.
So Asian Halloween is like they you have a bunch of people come in, and then they have all like basically they're saying Asians have all these like different kind of icons, different figures to look up to nowadays, and they jump back to 1978, and everybody's dressed up as Bruce Lee because it's like back then that was all the representation that we got. But then now I think like with the rise of Asian American, Asian, Canadian media, and then also like our increasing globalization, our integration with the East Asia region, like K-pop is one of those I guess, options that we can choose from.
Right.
And I think Asian people are choosing to express themselves in a way that's more authentic to their own culture now, or what they perceive to be their own culture.
Right.
And then I think also that some of that is being co-opted by like mainstream Western society, where I think one day I went to the grocery store and, you know, like 17 magazine, right? Like
17
one of those,
magazine.
Yeah. Like one of those like super teenage girl, like, oh, crosswords, is this boy like me or not? Those magazines.
Yeah.
BTS was on the cover of one of those.
Oh.
And I was like, when I was young, like I would never imagine that I would see someone from Asia on that cover.
Right.
Yeah.
Neither.
Exactly. It's this weird feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, but
Like now, like we see like how successful like BTS is doing. Kind of remind me of the time when Baekhyun became popular in Japan.
Oh, yes.
Like in 2004. Yeah. It was shocking for me too, because that was also the time when like Japan and Korea, like we were talking about the island. Yeah. So that's when it got intense.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of nowhere,
this happened.
Yoon-sama came out, and then things just happened, right?
Yeah, things actually are, there are changes that happen. Yeah. People react differently, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually remember where, but I picked it from somewhere. It was like from a research paper. Somebody said it. Some people were saying that Hallyu, the Korean wave, is, so I'll sort of like have to like mix it up with Korean.
Yeah.
So Hallyu is Asian, re-Asian-hua of Asian region. People are saying that.
Re-Asianizing.
So, yeah, of, of Asian people. Because before, we were into, like back in the 70s and 80s, like a lot of people in Asia, like we were so into like Hong Kong media as well. Like, you know, like movies and stuff. And then,
that was quite a sweep.
Right, it was good. And Japan, they've been like consistently leading, like one of the factors like leading the Asian trend, and now the K-pop is doing really well too. So but in the process, we also consumed a lot of American media, like Hollywood movies, and now we are sort of moving forward to focusing on more of like Asian media too, like, which also like there are a lot of people even in Korea who watch like J-dramas, like Japanese dramas, even like Chinese dramas as well. That,
I think that's a really powerful assertion, because like we don't get too technical here kind of thing, right? But I think our parents' generation very much grew up with this like, we are different from the West, and so we kind of revere things from the West at the same time, right? And then also if you look at the flows like that you were mentioning about in the 80s, it's like Hong Kong media, and then in the 90s it's like trendy J-dramas, and then now it's K-dramas kind of thing. I think that like all of that cultural interaction that happened in the 80s and even like starting from the post-war period into the 80s, I think those things are starting to catch up to us, and I think our generation as a whole is becoming a global generation. We're starting to kind of globalize kind of thing, right? And so I think those assumptions, those or rather constructions, I guess, of like the West and then the East kind of thing, I think those things, as much as they are distinct, they are starting to blur or not, maybe even kind of disintegrate a little bit. And I think it will be to the advantage of young people to kind of gain that Asia competency kind of thing, right? To be able to navigate both sides of that.
Right. And I think at this point, it's really good to have our own soft power. Is it what it's called? Soft power soft and like power. Media power? Media Like that way we can like represent or portray our own culture in our media too.
Yes.
Before, of course, I'm not gonna mention which one, but you know, like some media in from the West, like the way they describe Asia, it is not
ideal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not gonna mention which one it is, but we know.
We all know. Yeah. Yeah. We share that history. So. We are with you. If you are listening, we are with you.
Right. Okay. Cool. Elliot, are you into any drama these days? Or did you just finish a show?
I did finish a show quite recently. Well, I say quite as in a month ago, because midterms are just like, midterms erase the passage of time.
Right.
But Mr. Sunshine has been on my mind for quite a while. And I brought it up last time as well. But
right. You did. I still haven't got to watch the show yet.
Yeah. It's not that long. I mean. Yeah.
How many episodes?
It's 24.
24? Oh, okay.
24, yeah.
I see.
And it's quite a coherent narrative, I think, for 24, especially since it was TVN.
TVN?
It was TVN, yes.
Okay. And the script, the storyline, it was written by
Kim Eun-suk,
who wrote The Heirs.
Who wrote, and, like, yes, Tenue, who wrote Heirs, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Descendants of the Sun, Goblins.
So. Right, awesome.
Excuse me.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah. coffins.
So, of course, because I haven't seen the show yet, I cannot explain about this, about the drama.
Yes. Like,
could you explain about it to our listeners?
Okay, I think I would be pretty well qualified to explain about it because I actually wrote a paper on Goblin.
All right.
And one of the things that I kind of posited was that, like, at the beginning, it's all like kind of fluffy romantic comedies, Lovers in Paris and stuff. I think Secret Garden was it.
Was it
Secret Garden? Yes. Mm. And Heirs, of course. And then it moves into like, so talking about the Korean military in Descendants of the Sun, talking about Korean folklore in Goblin.
Right.
And then finally, we're getting into the meaty stuff. We're going to talk about Korean history. We're going to talk about the colonial period, right? And that, like, that's something that I don't think there are a lot of works that touch on this, like, Korean Empire period, like Taehyung-jaeguk period between, like, what is it, 1894 to 1910, something like that.
Yeah, right before the colonial
period. Before the colonial period. Mm. And I think I read in some article that she wanted to kind of honor the stories of the independence fighters kind of thing, which, and there's this kind of dissonance with that because it was lambasted for having, like, historical inaccuracies. So I'm like, okay, you can talk about it, but you can try to be a little bit more accurate when you talk about it. But still, it's a really good story. It's a very, and it's got a love story at the center. Of course it does, right? Which is a very rousing one. It's kind of like a love square, if you know what I mean. But anyway, I won't go into too much detail.
Right. Okay, too much information.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And would you recommend the show to our listeners?
I would definitely recommend it. I think it gives you perspective on what the media that you're consuming that you can't just get by, like, ooh, flashy outfits, colors, you know? So you need to understand the context.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Mm. Are there any, like, good OSTs from the show, by the way?
Ooh.
Wait, how about this? Let's listen to the songs right now, actually.
Let's listen to them.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Which songs you want to recommend?
Okay, so I talked about 좋은 날 by Mellow Monks last time, but I think that one is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the two kind of the male and female ballad kings, Baek Ji-young and Park Hyo-shin. So Baek Ji-young did a song called See You Again, if you watch the show, that line will come up somewhere.
Cool.
And then, of course, 그날 is like the, you'll just listen to it. It's very rousing. It's very like, oh, I feel so. I don't want to say nationalistic, but like.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's begin with 좋은 날 by Mellow Monks.
Sure.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
멈추지 않은 게 어디 눈물뿐일까 길고 긴 이야기 춥고 슬픈 얘기 끝에 그대와 안고 있길 흩어져버릴까 꼭 쥐어봅니다 그댈 잡은 내 두 손을 처음이었다 이렇게 좋은 날 그댈 눈에 담을 수 있어 좋은 날 날 알아들었다 눈부시게 그댄 내 가슴에 내 마음에 꼭 피는 날처럼 환하게 피어나길 이곳에서 늘 바라봅니다 처음이었다 이렇게 좋은 날 그댈 눈에 담을 수 있어 좋은 날 처음 울었다 그대를 만나서 그리움에 보고픔에 그대라는 이유 그 하나에
나요 잔인한 햇살에도 그 봄은 아름다워서 숨죽인 들판 위로 꽃잎은 붉게 피어나 끝없이 긴 밤에도 나를 덮은 건 푸르름이라 필요한 꿈이라도 다시 떠나리라 모든 바람이 어쩌면 오지 못할 그날 잠들지 않는 이름으로 널 부르리라
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
Elliot, how was it to be on air today?
It was very cool. Thank you for allowing me to share. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually time for us to wrap it up. No, already.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, do you want to say thank you to the listeners, by the way? Like, say a goodbye?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for being on air with Jaden and myself. And I hope to see you again very soon.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
See you again.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And yeah, thanks for coming out on air today, Elliot. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And okay, so that is it for today's show, and make sure to stay tuned right in for the upcoming shows on CITR 101.9 FM. And coming up next, we're going to have Marco at the studio for his show Astro Talk from 2 to 3. And I'll leave you with Heavy Eyes by Basement Revolver, so take it away.